So, Father God, we give you praise that we are free and free indeed. As we spend these next few moments in your word, might we receive the word that's implanted within, that's able to save our souls. We receive this in Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. 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 Good evening. Good evening. Thank you, Randy and team. Thank you so much. How's everybody doing this evening? Doing all right? Listen, our first go around for LRT, we've done it quite a bit at this point. When I first actually sat down with this beautiful bearded one and Pastor George, and we talked about having LRT, at that point we had already done wave one about, 10, 11 times at that point. And that was maybe even more, because the ministry began March of 2017. And so we had already done a good 10 or 11 of them by the time that they actually got on and said, hey, let's do some. And then in the meantime of us actually, that was September of 2018. From September 2018 till we came in February of 2019, we did a handful more. And we got really precise with what we did. So that's why the first wave, it was like, well, we'll be out of here in about 60, 65 minutes. And I would only steal about, just a little bit from y'all. This time around, we just haven't got quite dialed in, This is actually our third time doing wave two, our third. So and what's crazy is that the revelation that the Lord gave us about healing in the body is something that we've been living out for about a year and a half as a team, but it wasn't until recently that we actually began to present it, mostly because we believe we want to live something out before we teach it, yeah? And so as we've seen it taught. So that's all to say that I'm sorry that the time is just fluctuating all over the place. Please be allow grace. And something I do need to say, something to the house at PVC. PVC, the team, I know I speak for the team. I know I speak for Christian. I speak for Justin. I know even Tyler, who's come onto the team recently. Like, we are so indebted to your love and your prayers and the way you receive gospel. We're so indebted to you. You don't know how many times Christian and I would do something at a church, or we would have some sort of exchange with somebody, and it was like, and then we would all be like, man, I can't wait to get back to PVC, man. We're going to do this at PVC. People going to lose their minds. It's going to be so dope. You remember? We would always be like, oh, man, we can't wait. And then Justin would be on the road, and Justin would be like, can't you wait till we do this at PVC? I was like, it's going to be so lit, right? You have not disappointed, so thank you. Like, I promise you, I get it when Paul writes and says, like, I can't wait to visit y'all so that I might impart and you might impart back to me as well, right? We are absolutely strengthened and encouraged because of your fervent prayers and because of the way that gospel has just continued to blossom, right? It's always been preached in this house. I know that as long as your shepherd, Pastor George, has been here, gospel has been preached. But I know that in this past year, it's touched our hearts from y'all's to us. So thank you very much. So in light of that, we want everybody to have a Bible. Get a Bible. We want to read Hebrews 2 right away. We want to get to Hebrews 2 right away. So if you need a Bible, put a hand up. And if we can, if you don't mind, we could turn on the lights on the edges a little more up here, if that's all right. And yes, thank you. And we will get to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. Everybody put a hand up for a Bible. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. So just keep a finger there. That's where we're going to be at right away. Have you ever, everybody got a Bible? Hands up. Everybody got a Bible? Yeah, everybody got a Bible? I think I mentioned this here before, but you know how certain words can change your life. You hear a word, and words have the power to change, right? Words have the power to change your life. I mean, I remember, Will sitting here, I remember so much of my life has been with me and Will, which is an actual, it's a gift, right? You have a lifelong friend like that. But I remember we were about 19, I was maybe 18, Will was 19, I think. And Will calls me, and he's like, "Hey, man, are you sitting down?" I was like, "No." He's like, "Sit down." All right. And I remember exactly where I was. I was in a rental home when in my first year in college. It was a house we rented, and there was a hallway, and I was standing in the hallway. I took his call on the cell phone. He's like, "You better sit down." I was like, "Why?" He's like, "Just sit down." And I remember I sat down in the hallway, and he's like, "I'm about to be a daddy." I was, "What in the world?" right? Now his daughter's what? She's 18? She's 18? Yeah, it hurts our hearts, man, because, man, grown too fast. Will's got four beautiful girls, but I remember the first time he told me he was going to have his first one. "I'm going to be a dad." I was like, "Oh, my goodness, life has just changed." And this is me at 18. I'm not even, like, I mean, that's my brother, but I ain't even related, you know? You could imagine for Will, right? I mean, for some of you guys in the house, when your spouse came up to you and she was like, "I'm pregnant." Y'all remember that? You're like, some of you guys remember? Or is it still too traumatizing? You can't even, like, right? You know what I'm saying? Or even something as simple as when parents sit down kids and they're like, "Hey, we're moving," right? Like, that alters your whole world, right? Like, words represent this conceptual shift for your whole life, you know? And I can remember that for me, there was an absolute shift according to words that made sense after I received gospel. I received gospel, and this word got implanted in my heart. It got implanted in my heart, and I lived according to that word. I woke up one morning. I've never stopped living according to this word. I woke up that morning, and I knew God loved me. That was the word. God loves me. And me in my totality, who I was in that moment, and actually believing those words and receiving those words and planting it in my heart changed everything, right? Because I knew that God was good prior to that. And like BB, I actually thought if God is so just, he wouldn't allow a knucklehead like me to actually do what I'm doing because I'm so double-minded and I'm so hypocritical. I'm here preaching this theology, but I'm not really living it. And when gospel finally penetrated and I saw the way he saw me, then I really knew who I was and I knew who he was. And it was summed up in these words: God loves me. And those words have not shifted, even as life has gotten tumultuous in certain ways. Are you with me? So words have this incredible power. And the thing about scripture is so amazing that there's certain passages that just blow my mind in the depth of what they say. One of those is we're going to read here in Hebrews 2. But I just want to give you just a quick little a setup is that, you know, the Bible calls Jesus the Word of God, right? He's the Word. So you got to think about this. Like, think about, and think about God is, you know, if we put three, right? And I'll do that for the sake of, right? But as those three are together, right? When they choose to speak, right? When they choose to collectively speak, this is them speaking that way, right? This is their collective word, right? When they choose to speak, it's actually one of them that is the word that's made flesh. You with me? So out of the Godhead comes the word that's made flesh, right? So they choose to speak, but they speak through him. And as he speaks, everything gets created that has been created. You with me? You guys know what this is, right? All right? Just to help. Oh! So the Trinity actually, like, all of reality is through the Word made flesh. So when Hebrews says that he holds all things together through the word of his power, it's not through the power of his word. It's the word of his power. Why? Because the power of God is the word of God, and the word of God is Jesus Christ himself. So that the word of his power is the word that in other places is also called wisdom. You with me? So it's through this word that comes everything. And like last night, we talked about how he is supreme in all things, and that he himself, the Word that became flesh, was the one that tasted death first so that he might be preeminent in all things, even in tasting death. But when this Word, here's what I want to focus on, when this Word comes in, we receive it in our Adam 1 corrupted bodies, but since we live through his Word, we participate in the Adam 2 reality. We together? Does that make sense? Read this with me. We're going to transition. Read this. This is powerful stuff. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. Listen, I'm going to read. We're going to read some. We're just going to read. Is that all right? Word. You're so corny. Verse 5, 2 verse 5, page 581. For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, put everything in subjection under his feet. So the text is saying that the world is in subjection to who? Well, so far it says, what is man to humanity? The world is subject to humanity. Are we together? Okay, keep reading. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside of his control. At present, we do not see everything in subjection to him, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels. So the world is subject to man, but who has been made lower than the angels and who has become just like man? Verse 9, namely Jesus. Don't miss this. The Word has become flesh. The Word has become man. And as man, he is given dominion over the world. We good? Keep reading. Crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for. So the Word, straight out of the Trinitarian life, speaks everything into existence and then enters that existence and becomes flesh. And then in becoming flesh, allows himself to become nothing. Okay. This stuff blows my mind. I hope it blows yours. There used to be nothing. It was just them. Then they decided to create. Jesus is the one they do it through. Everything is made through him. But how is it made? Through the power of a word. The Word not only makes everything, but then the Word becomes flesh and enters the world. Now remember, when the whole thing began, there was nothing but them. There was nothing but them. He speaks all of this into creation, enters into it, and then while being inside of it, he himself subjects himself to death and becomes nothing. So the nothing that used to exist could still be. And he who always was became not. So that in his becoming not, we might always participate in what they've always been. Right? And this is all the Word doesn't keep, look at this stuff, man. Keep reading, look at this. For it was fitting, verse 10, for it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist. You see that language? It was fitting by he, for whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. So salvation that we get comes through who? The Word. This is going to be very, very key in a minute. the Word. And the Word becomes flesh and the Word suffers. How does the Word suffer? Well, we've been going through this. He suffers in his body and he suffers things like he's abandoned. Right? What else does he suffer? We've called him out. He's betrayed. What'd you say, Will? He's rejected. He's violated. Right? He's crucified. Right? Oh, man, I'm going to misspell this. Right? Yeah, it would have been. He's shamed. Right? Like, listen, he all of this. Right? And he experiences all of this. The Word experiences all of this. Stay with me. I promise we're going to make this real plain. Verse 10 again. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, that's you and me, bringing many sons and daughters to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. What does that mean? That Jesus experiences all of this as the Word become flesh, submitted to the world, endures it, overcomes it, like we know in the gospel. And then verse 11, for he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one. That is why he's not ashamed to call them. They have one what? They have one what? Let me show you something real quick. Go to Hebrews 10. They have one what? Okay. Hebrews 10. You've seen this before, but look at what Hebrews 10:5 says. This is, in Hebrews 10, it's talking about the sanctuary and its services and how it can't save. But look at what it says. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but what have you prepared? A body. In burnt offerings and sacrifices, you've taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the... So the Word becomes flesh, enters the world, submits himself to suffering, and is sustained by the Word. The Word himself, who was made flesh. Think about this. In the Old Testament times, who was it that I was actually speaking to the prophets, telling them about who was to come? Do you know what Peter says? First Peter says? I think it's First Peter. Is it First Peter or Second Peter? It says, the Spirit of Christ within them. So the very Spirit of Christ that spoke the world into existence was speaking to them so that they might write down words that would actually serve him when he became the Word made flesh, so that the word that was spoken that was about him might enter him while he was a human, and he might live through the Word even in the present sufferings that he experienced, because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Isn't that crazy? I can show it to you in a couple more places, but I want to show it to you what it looks like. I want to show you what living by your word actually looks like. Because this is, it's good to know. I promise it's good to know. But you need to see what it's like lived out. When the Lord speaks a word, even in the midst of present sufferings, you don't change your mind. Listen to me. When the Lord speaks a word, even in the midst of present sufferings, you don't change your mind. Because that word that's spoken is the word that spoke all of reality to existence. It is the word that became flesh. And if that word is spoken into your heart, you have no permission to deviate from it. And if the word is spoken in the text, that's something else I'll talk about if I can. We have no permission to deviate from it and justify it because the culture tells us it's outdated. Unless we don't believe what the book says. Then if we don't believe what the book says, then maybe Jesus Christ isn't raised from the dead and this is all in vain. But if he's in fact raised from the dead, then I promise you, you fighting against the culture or you standing fast in his word against the culture isn't the most crazy thing you've ever done. You actually believe a man was dead for 3 days, then popped back up, went to the top of a mountain and floated away and told you he'd be back. You believe in a sanctified Terminator. right? Some of y'all got that. If we believe that, I promise, we could stand fast on his word. Is that all right? I got a friend of mine I'm going to invite up here to let you know what it looks like to hold fast to a word in the even in the midst of present suffering. So if I could invite my friend Jayla Cornejo to come on up. And Jayla, as you know, is a friend of the ministry. And Jayla, if you could tell us just a little bit about what happened in August a couple of years ago. And what was, I think it was August? Was it August?
Yeah, August.
If you could maybe share a little bit about the word that you got in the natural from your husband, mm-hmm. and then what your response was, and then the word that you got from the Lord. Yeah?
Sounds good. All right, so, yeah, you've heard Jonathan mention, kind of highlight some of the things that my husband and I went through. But on August 8, 2015, my husband comes to me and tells me that he has been having an affair with me. Not with me. He has been having an affair. And, when I tell my story, sometimes I just kind of breeze through it, and then sometimes I get, like, really detailed about it, and I don't share like the details of the horrific part of the story because, like, I'm trying to get like oh my goodness, or you to feel sorry for me. Like Jonathan shared last night, like there's an epidemic in the church, and that is sympathy. Like we need empathy, but we definitely don't need sympathy. And so when I share things about my story, it's not to receive sympathy. Matter of fact, I had someone come to me last weekend after church and say, yeah, you've really had an up and down. And I'm like, well, in the flesh, it looks like there's been up and down. But in the spiritual, it's all the same. Because every day is the same with Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so, just to kind of give you an idea of what was happening, but not for you to feel sorry for me, but for you to realize how much of a miracle it was.
Yes.
All right, so we had been married 7 years. He told me August 8. August 9 was going to be our 8-year anniversary. I was 8 months pregnant with my second child. Not only was my husband was a pastor. Doesn't matter whether you're a pastor or a teacher or a garbage man, you still shouldn't do it. But when you're like he should have just known better. You should know better, but he should have really known better, that type of thing. And so so there was that. And then also, he's the only guy I've ever dated, the only guy I ever kissed, the only guy, like, we were intimate until we got married, none of that stuff. And so, like, I saved everything for him. I gave him everything, my heart, the only one I ever loved. So, I mean, it would have been betrayal anyways, even if I was, like, super promiscuous before. It still would have been betrayal. But, like, I felt like it was even, like, more betrayal just because, like, I had given him everything. But this is the thing, like, I have been walking with the Spirit my entire life. And some of you guys, like, are coming and you're hearing Jonathan and you're like, yeah, like, or even Morgan said it, like, how can people not understand God's love for them, you know? Or like, I just don't get it. And you're hearing this and you're like, yeah, well, I know that I'm righteousness by faith, or I know that God sees me as holy, or I know that God loves me. And I knew that, and I had been walking with Jesus. And since I was a little girl, I had a relationship with him, so I knew his voice. And so when he gives me a word, because we're talking about word.
Yeah,
the story. Yeah. So I knew his voice. So my husband, he comes and he tells me that he's been doing these things. And, of course, I was devastated. It's the worst thing anyone has done to me. Worse than the lady that was his mistress. Worse than that. Because I wasn't in covenant with her. She didn't owe me anything. I was in covenant with my husband. So it was the worst thing anyone had ever done to me. Devastated. And I go to his parents' house so that they can watch my oldest, Micah, and that I can just be in the room by myself and just, you know, I never got mad at God, but I'm just there. And the Lord says to me, loud and clear in my mind, he says, Jayla, you've been praying for your husband. Because I knew something was up, and I knew he didn't have a relationship. He says, you've been praying for your husband for a couple of years. I have changed him. I have saved him. I have transformed him. You need to tell your husband, this is day three. He says, you need to tell your husband that you're coming home. No, this is the 10th. Because, yeah, you need to tell your husband that you're coming home. So that would have been the 11th. And that you want him to come with you. That you want him to come back because he had gone to a friend's house. And so, by faith, I was obedient to the word.
So hold on. Let me just back up. Okay, just to make it. All right, so Eddie calls you what day on the calendar?
August 8th.
August 8th, and your immediate response is what?
Like, my immediate response was like, I was torn up, I was crying, I was devastated, yeah. I was hurt, I was crushed.
Yeah, and then you left the house and he took off as well.
Yeah.
And then in your secret place time.
Yeah, in my secret place time, I was like, I wasn't mad at God, but I was just like, I was upset. I was like, you know, what's going on? Like, why? And he said, why are you upset?
Yeah.
He says, oh, this is what he said. Yeah, because when God talks to me, we're homies, all right? And that's not sacrilegious. That's just how it is. Like, he's straight up. Like, and, like, because I'm so direct, he's direct with me. So he was in my face. He was like, what's your problem? I said, are you serious? What's my problem? Come again? Today, because when he was in my face, he was like, yesterday was my 8-year anniversary. I'm 8 months pregnant. My bougie husband's been cheating on me. And you're asking me what my problem is? And he says, yeah, what's your problem? You said to save your husband. You said to do whatever it takes to save your husband.
So let me, right there. So there's been a time where you've noticed that Ed is off.
Yeah. There's a time. I guess you have a mic.
It's for them.
Right, okay.
I've heard the story.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
So there's a time where you've been praying for your husband because you know something's off.
Yeah, that's right.
And then the Lord comes in and is like, hey, you asked me to do something.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And what was it that then he says to you once he illuminates that? What is it that he tells you to do in response to what he's doing for your husband?
He tells me to bring him back, to accept him, to stay married to him.
So that was the word that you received?
Yeah, that was the word. He says, call your husband and tell him. Oh, he says, the word that I received was, I've changed him. That was the word. Mm. I've changed him.
Mm.
Yeah.
And since you had been praying for a change.
And I had been changing for a change. That's the word he gave me. He says, I've changed him. And now that I've changed him, you're just going to kick him to the curb? It was all up in my feels, up in my face.
Yeah, so then here's a question. Then, how did that feel when he confronted you with, I've changed him, and now that I've changed him, you're going to leave him?
Yeah, well, as Jonathan has said before, like, feelings aren't Lord. Like, Jesus is Lord. So it didn't feel great to be cheated on. It didn't feel... Yeah, it felt awful, but at the same time, there was peace. I had the feeling of peace because I just knew the voice, and it's like I can be obedient to the word or I cannot be obedient, but I had been obedient my whole life, so what am I going to do now, stop being obedient?
Can you tell us a little bit about, you mentioned that you were obedient to the voice, right?
Yeah.
And why is it that you had always been obedient? What is this about you knowing the voice? What happened to you?
So it was when I was like 5 and a half, 6, when my parents divorced, I had an encounter with Jesus where he just came to me when I was in my bedroom and he was just like, Jayla, I love you. And so that's why I knew his voice. I knew his voice since I was like 6. And it's the love of God for me the love of God for you that helps you recognize the voice. Because if you don't know God's love for you and how much he loves you, it's really hard to detect his voice. So it's such a beautiful gift he gave me at such a young age. So I have been walking with God ever since I was young because I knew that God absolutely loved me. So every trial that was brought my way, I was an overcomer. Not because of me, not because of my works, but because Jesus Christ who lived in me. And I'm like, you know what? I got this because he's got this and he lives in me.
So this is amazing to me because we're talking about a six-year-old child that can have an encounter with the Lord. And because she's been listening to the Lord since she was 6 years old, she knows that she can appeal to the Lord to do something for her husband. And when God does something for her husband, it probably did not come the way you expected it to come.
No, but I was absolutely like, you would think that I would sit on that for days, but it really took like a couple minutes maybe. I was like, okay, I'm going to text my husband and tell him. Because it's like, why wouldn't I be obedient to his voice? The voice has never failed me. It's not going to fail me now.
Now, I know because I journeyed with the Cornejo family during this period that in the natural, it wasn't all good. There were times where you were hitting with bouts of, you know, certain attacks in your brain. I remember when Ed would come and like, hey, baby, ask me whatever, right?
Yeah.
That there was certain times in the natural where you were hit with stuff, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, because like wave two, and I think you said the like Friday night, it's like, you know, like we know that we're loved and that we're free from sin, but then how do we walk this thing out, right? Yeah. How do we live that out? Because like trials are going to come your way. Satan's going to try to bring you down. But what does that look like? How do we walk that out? And so you appeal to the word. That's how you walk that out, not to your flesh. The word who became flesh and now lives in us. And so there were times when it's like I had completely forgiven Eddie. And people will say to me, they will say, how can you forgive your husband? He did such an awful thing. And it's like, it was so easy to forgive him. Actually, the day that he told me that he had cheated on me, I prepared him a meal. Not because I'm some dumb woman who has no self-esteem, who's like trying to keep my husband. I did it because I had the Father's love in me, and I felt bad for him. I'm like, this is a man. Don't cry for me. I know who I am. Cry for him. He doesn't know who he is, because if he knew who he was, he would have never cheated on me. So I felt bad for him. I had sympathy for him. Let me bring you a meal because you're the one in agony and pain and grief, not me. I know who I am. I'm a child of God, and nothing can change that. And so what does this look like walking it out? Yeah, it was horrible, but I knew what the word had spoken about me, so it didn't change what had happened to me in the flesh, because my spirit was strong. And yeah, there were times like, you know, I would have like, because everything, you know, I would have like triggers, and I would start to think about him with this other woman. But how did I conquer that? I would just be like, I would defeat it by the word of God. Or I would defeat it about who I knew God was. God is always good. God's got me. And so when feelings of like unforgiveness would rise up, I would just say, Father, I thank you that I'm not somebody who keeps record of wrong. Father, I thank you that love always hopes. Father, I thank you that your spirit lives inside of me and that I'm somebody who lays down their life.
Now, I want to be very clear with y'all because I journeyed with them. During this time, she's not, this is a thing of above feeling.
Yeah.
Right?
Supernatural.
Uh-huh.
Supernatural.
So it's above feeling where because the word of God was hid in her heart, when the attacks came, she defeated those attacks by taking them captive and submitting them to the truth.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's
now,
right.
That doesn't mean, like, Jayla's skinny already as it is. But during that time, tell him how much you lost.
Yeah, so he talks about accusations. And when my husband got accused, you know, my body just took a toll. Like, I was like 7-8 pounds skinnier than I am now. I have no weight that I should lose anyways. And so, like, in the flesh, it took a toll. Like, I was just so sick to my stomach, I could not eat. The only reason why I ate was because I was nursing. I didn't want to lose my milk supply. So this is how my prayer life looked. I said, Father, I thank you that I'm hungry today. Father, I thank you that I feel like eating. Because...
And this is when you didn't feel like
and
eating.
This is when I didn't feel like eating. Like, I was so sick to my stomach, I had to force myself to eat. But I prayed from a place of abundance. Now, my boys, like, I'm direct, and my boys are direct, and Micah, like, I teach him to say please, but sometimes he's just like, Mommy, I want this. You know, if you have kids, they're very demanding, and that's absolutely okay. They have that right to be demanding. Why? Because they're your kids. My son can demand things from me anytime he wants. He's so demanding, and he doesn't say please, and he doesn't need to say please because he has that access as my son. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. We have access. You are a child of God. We sang about it this week. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. You have access. You come to his throne boldly, and you say, Papa, Father, I need this. And you will do it, because when you are a child and you know that you have him and he lives in you, and you have pure motives, and he's fathering you to for you to check your motives. And so when I come to my father and say, Father, change my husband. Do something. I know he's going to come through. I'm not saying, Lord, please, please. I'm not begging and none of that. No. Get it done. Take care of it. It's your job. I'm your child. We have that access. And so... When I pray, it's from a place of abundance. So, like, we needed to come up with thousands of dollars for a lawyer. And, you know, my husband's behind bars. And what does my prayer look like? Is it, Lord, please help us to find this money. We've spent our savings. Lord, please help him to get out of jail. It wasn't that. I said, Lord, thank you that the money's on the way. Thank you that you are finding the lawyer, because we don't know anything about finding a lawyer, the right one. There's thousands of them. Lord, thank you that you're going to get these charges dropped. Thank you that he's going to get out of jail. That's how it looks like in the spirit. Even though the flesh, it took a toll. I was losing so much weight. I wasn't sleeping. But when I wake up in the middle of the night, instead of worrying about it, because it says, do not worry. Be anxious for nothing. So either the Bible, you believe it, or God is playing a sick joke on us. And he's manipulative. I don't believe that. He's loving. He's good always. So when the Bible says you can get to a place where you don't fear, you can really get to a place where you have no fear. So when I'm waking up in the middle of the night and I'm crippled with fear, I say, Father, thank you that you have created me to be someone who has no fear. Even if I don't believe it in the flesh. I say, Father, thank you that you have created me to be someone who has no fear, who has no worry, who has no anxiety. Thank you that your spirit lives inside of me. And the same power that conquered the grave lives in me. So even though I feel anxious, it's a lie and I rebuke it. And I'm not putting a time stamp on it as a you have to take care of it by this and this time. And no, Lord, you're good. You're going to take care of me. You are who you say I am.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jayla.
That's it.
Thank you so much. So again, I journeyed with them for quite some time, and I can honestly, it was not easy, right? But from the inside that I know that there's this place of hiding the word in your heart and living from the word. You don't live from anything else. You live from the word. And if the word says it, you can bank on it, right? If the word says it, you can bank on it. I think we were here, was it in March? Well, it was this summer sometime. I don't know if Christian, were you here with us this summer? Not for that. It was for something else. It's Pastor George spoke, all right? And he had a fantastic sermon on Jesus actually believing that he would be resurrected, right? And he believed that he was resurrected based on what? The word. He read it in the book. And then there was you mentioned Hosea.
Hosea 6:1-2, it says 2 days after the third day he will raise
up. Yeah, Hosea 6 what?
Yeah, Hosea 6:1-2.
Let's turn there. Hosea 6:1-2. Somebody shout out the page if you get there fast. 439, Hosea 6, Hosea 6. You there?
2 and 3.
2 and 3. Hey. One, two, and three. Now, you got to, I mean, you, this is mind-blowing. I mean, Jesus read the book, and as he's reading the book, he's discovering himself. Hear me now. He's reading the book, and he's discovering himself. Jayla is living according to the word that she received, and she's discovering the strength, the access, and the boldness that she has as a daughter, because she's not letting the natural determine who she is. She's living according to the word that she's received. And as she lives according to the word that she's received, strength rises, because according to the word, she can hope and wait on the Lord, expecting good things, because he who spoke it is faithful to do the very thing he has spoken. So as she's establishing her mind on the word, she knows that all he said, he would do. And Jesus, and think about this, Jayla's only practicing that which Jesus has already modeled. Jesus read the book. He himself became flesh. The word became flesh. You got to understand, when he came, the Bible tells us that he laid aside his prerogatives towards his divine rights. So as he lays his divine rights aside, that means that he's, just like you and I, he's dependent on the revelation for him to live. Now, I used to think when I was a kid, well, then Jesus probably went off into the field that night by himself, and God opened up the skies, and the Father came down and talked to him. No, Jesus opened the book. And as he opened the book, the word came alive in his heart, and he knew who he was. And because his life was established on the word, then he could steward a revelation. So Moses and Elijah manifest. Why? Because they're talking to him about his exodus. When Moses and Elijah show up at the Mount of Transfiguration, they're talking to him about his exodus. Jesus knew exactly what they were talking about because he knew the word. So as they spoke to him, he was like, yeah, you're right. I read it in the word. Are you with me? And as we read the word and hide it in our hearts, the revelation of who he is and the revelation of who we are is established. Hosea 6, 1 and 2. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, that he may heal us. He has struck us down. He will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live before him. That's it. That's it. And Jesus staked his whole existence on that. And Jesus is alive.
Amen.
Preach. Give me another one. Yep. Give us the page.
451.
Jonah what? Jonah 1, verse 17. Oh, yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yep. Jonah 1, 17. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. There's a story about a fish, and the dude's inside the fish for 3 days and three nights, and Jesus is reading this, and he's like, yep, that's me. But do you know why he was able to say that? Because the Spirit revealed it to him as he set his mind on the word. You know why we look at it in the natural and we're like, ooh, that's flimsy, is because we're not hearing the word through Spirit. But when we hear the word through Spirit, we can actually forgive our husband quickly, because we're not living according to the natural, we're living according to the word. Because she heard the word when she was 6, and she's been living with the word. So when the word spoke to her, the Spirit came and empowered it and made it true. Because you hear it, hearing comes by faith, and then you speak it by faith, and grace comes back, loops it around, and makes it true. I already did. That's exactly what I was gonna say, and I drew it up there. It's the loop. Are you with me? And so we have to establish ourselves in the word, y'all. Like, this thing is not magic. It's truth. Magic is trying to have sparkles dance around and fairies and, you know, music from Lord of the Rings and Aragorn coming out. No. It's a great movie, though, right? Great, better book. But that's not what this is. This is truth. So that when a moment like that happens, the heavens don't open up. It's a voice that speaks. Here, here. But it's because it was established in here. And it finds agreement in here. If you know what it sounds like, because you yourself have established your life according to the word. And as you establish your life according to the word, you know what happens to you? You are transformed. You are renewed. And the word becomes flesh. That's who you are. So that if the word becomes flesh, tell me how much room there is for the marks of the old life to determine the truth of who we are now. If the word has become flesh, that means that the new Adam 2 man that speaks to us through spirit and establishes in the word is the one who marks us. So he literally heals us through the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Peter says it clear, by his wounds we are healed. And why was he wounded? Because he had flesh. Why did he have flesh? Because he was the word that became the flesh. And in receiving those marks, he was able to conquer those marks so that when she got marked, she did not let her husband's mark speak louder than the Spirit's word. Amen. Are you seeing how we're putting this together? Greg, Will, not Tyler. I need you. Ashok, can we get those sheets right there? And where's the basket? Can we, hey, Michael, how about you help me out, man? We're going to put you to work. You can hand these all out to people. Hand those, all of those out to everybody. Split them up. Elijah, you want to help me out? Yeah. Hand these out to folks. All right. All right. Here we go. Take one, pass it down. You got the sheets? Angie, you do the pens? Go all around with the pens. Sophie, I'm going to enlist you. You're going to help me with the pens all around. Thank you. Make sure everybody gets a pen. Hey, Will, give me one of those sheets just to make sure I have one so I can read it. So you should have three things. You should have a sheet. There should be coming sheets. Oh, Ashok has them back there. Sheet. Ashok, sheets. You should have a pen, and you should have a hello badge. Hello, my name is. Y'all doing all right? Yeah, sheets right there, Ashok, a sheet. Listen, you can come to these meetings and you can listen to sermons, you can listen to good gospel presentations by Pastor Greg, by Pastor George, but I promise you, that's not enough for you to actually live from a place of confidence and victory. That's enough to hold you over, right? But don't nobody live off Twinkies alone. Not saying that your sermons are Twinkies, right? We have to live from the word, and we have to get it for ourselves in the secret place. The word became flesh so that this corrupt flesh might receive the word. Hear me now. The word became flesh so that this corrupted flesh might receive the word. In the incarnation, he came close to us, died our death, so that through his resurrection, we might be in him. And the way we do that is through the word. And you might think like, oh, well, Jonathan, well, yep, we got to get in a Bible study. Yo, Bible study's good, but the Pharisees did Bible study. I ain't talking about Bible study. I'm talking about reading the word and finding yourself in it. I'm talking about believing what the word says about you and living through its truth, not just memorization, although that has its place. But I promise it's a lot easier to memorize something that you've actually made your own. Like, I have found in my life that knowing the scriptures has come as a consequence of actually having them on the inside, not because I got flashcards. Good, but that ain't the thing. So what you have in front of you is just a collection of confessions that we put together. And in there, you should find something for everybody. And I would just encourage you, just as simple as this, pray these as though they're true. Pray, look at, I'll be on the page that starts with James 1:19. I mean, in your prayer life, James 1:19, listen, I am slow to speak, quick to hear, and slow to anger. In the same way that Jayla gave that example of, she was like, she's putting this stuff on. She's like, even when she didn't feel hungry, Father, I thank you that I am hungry. And notice, this is so beautiful. Notice the position that Jayla was praying from. She was praying from love for her children. So the motive wasn't self-seeking. The motive's not self-seeking. The motive is to get a revelation of who he is so that we abide in love. Are you with me? So you actually see the Father, I am slow to speak, quick to hear, and slow to anger. That's scripture. And so we pray that. We receive that. James 1:22. I am a doer of the word. I meditate on the word all the day long. You'd be like, well, Jonathan, I'm lying. I'm like, no, you're not. Do you desire to meditate and live from the word? Then speak it by faith. His grace makes it true. And if he's spoken it, you can speak it in agreement. That's how you pray and live through the promises. Don't you elevate your experience above his word when he himself doesn't elevate anything above his word. Do you know that he elevates his word above his own name? Psalm 138. He elevates his word above his own name. That's why it's he made things through the word of his power. The word. We live through the word so that in the circumstances when they come, we're established and we know who we are because we have the word. So that when trials and tribulations come our way, we have the word. When we're betrayed, when we're violated, when we're exposed, when we're shamed, when marks are left on Adam 1, we don't live through Adam 1, we live through Adam 2 because we have hid his word in our hearts. When my husband, when her husband calls and says a year and a half of a betrayal, you don't crumble and become a nothing. Why? Because you're established in the word. Does it hurt? Yes. Was it a betrayal? Yes. All of that. But does that mean that then she lived from that place? No. No. We live in and from the word. So this is a collection. This is just a collection we put together to get you started. You guys have heard me say this before. I'd strongly encourage you to do Ephesians 1. Just read Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14, and read them for yourselves as though they're true about you. But these, take them, and I want to challenge y'all. Between today and tomorrow, pray five of these. Pick five of them between today and tomorrow. Circle five of them. Just circle five of them. Right now, go through them. Circle five that resonate with you and pray them within. Pray them for the next 24 hours. Just look through them for just a quick second. Look through them. Circle five that come in agreement with you, and you're going to pray these over the next 24 hours. Please pick five. Participate in this exercise. You're here to receive. Receive the word. Matter of fact, team, we're going to pick five for ourselves as well. And we're going to do this. We're going to do it after. We're going to pick five. We're going to do it after. We're going to do this. Pick five that resonate with you. All right. Doing all right? Y'all found five? Found some good ones? All right, listen. I'm challenging y'all. Next 24 hours, you're going to pray these five over and over, and you're going to pray them as though they're true. You're going to pray them as though they're true. You're going to establish them in your heart. If you need 20 minutes by yourself in a secret place room, go do it. Take the sheet with you, and you pray these five over and over. Because these promises are what we live through. His word is what we live through. His word speaks better over our lives than we could hope, imagine, and or think, yeah? All right, so here's what we're going to do. I want to teach you a song that is actually very thematic for this song. I mean, this week for us. It has been. I'm going to give you instructions. We're going to learn this song, okay? You have a Hello, My Name Is badge. Everybody got their badge? Everybody got their badge? You got a pen and a badge. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to learn this song. As soon as the song is over, I'm going to ask you to write down the word that God speaks over your life. The word. Song's going to finish. I'm going to let it play. I'm going to ask you, write down the word that God is speaking over your life. You're going to write it. And if you're so bold, you're going to put it on. And we're going to walk out this place established in the word. You understand what I'm saying to you? Man, let's show them this song, man. Badge in hand. Receive the word that the blood speaks over your life. Just ask him to reveal to you that word that he speaks over your life. In Jesus' name. I challenge you to put it on and live from it. Yeah? I challenge you to put it on and live from it. When you go home tonight, you look in that mirror, you see that word, you say, this is where I live from, yeah? As soon as you put on that word, you are dismissed. Father God, we live by what you've spoken over us. And according to your word, the same word that established Jesus, that same word that resurrected him, is the word we live from through him. And we pray it in his name. Amen.